Would you like to sit down and open the Bibles at the Bible reading? Page 37, 37 in the New Testament part of the Bible. That's towards the end. Mark 5, verses 1 to 20. Not an easy story, but nevertheless a very relevant one for us today. Now, I wonder, if I asked people in the church, which I'm not going to do, whether they know about Mary Magdalene, from whom Jesus cast out seven demons, I can imagine that most of us would put up our hand and say, yes, we know of Mary Magdalene. Wasn't she there when the Lord first rose from the dead? But few of us, I think, will know and remember the story of the man from the tombs with the unclean spirit. In one sense, he is the twin disciple to Mary Magdalene. For after his healing by Jesus, he proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles. Isn't it wonderful that this man was delivered, came to know Jesus, and immediately started proclaiming his name? What an amazing difference between the life, the demoniac, the story of which we're going to look at, lived previously and then lived afterwards, as he was saying, do you know about Jesus Christ? What's it like to be someone like the man in the story? I felt immediately sorry as I read the story for this man. And I can believe that Jesus Christ felt the same. Now let's take a step back. Someone approached Abigail Wichells, the young mother, walking her son in Little Bookham, Surrey. We don't yet know who it was. The police are still investigating. But I believe the person who did this crime may well have regretted the attack after the incident. You see, the person who committed this crime was violent. The man in our story, the demoniac, was violent before he met with Jesus. Now, many of us may be thinking, well, what's this got to do with me, John, on this Sunday morning? I'm not like the person who attacked Abigail Wichells. I'm not like the demoniac. But you know, there's something in all of us, a characteristic in all of us, that needs to be changed. We can be subject to fits of anger or unable to suppress the darker side of our nature, which, of course, we keep secret from other people. Jesus Christ can deliver us, can change the way we live. In this sermon, we're not going to spend much time on deliverance from evil spirits, exorcism, except to say that there can be rare cases where a woman or man needs deliverance from evil spirits. Certainly not a situation like we may have read in our newspapers 2 days ago about the fellowship in London where not the pastor but some of the congregation exercised in a completely wrong way on a girl of 8. That was completely wrong and abuse. There has been one case in recent year or two that I know of in our area where there was a situation where exorcism was required and a psychiatrist was involved. The Church of England were asked to help with an expert on the situation, A very great care was taken by the fellowship and the vicar as to what happened in the way of prayer. I'm glad to say in that particular case, the result was wonderful, and Jesus Christ did deliver that lady to a new life. Later in the sermon, I will mention our current scientific attitude to health. But this story teaches us about Jesus the deliverer, who delivers men and women from unhealthy lifestyles into whole new lives, changing them completely. I don't know how many of you are gardeners. Some, but not all. A few, not many. I am a gardener, and I grow delphiniums, which people have told me in Crowborough is impossible because of the bugs and slugs. Well, the wonderful thing is that if you take the care when the delphiniums are young, you end up with marvellous delphiniums. And when I left my house this morning, there was one blue one which was really beautiful, standing 4 to 6 foot high. And now just use that to understand what happens when Jesus delivers us as Christians from a trait in our character and makes us even more like him. Or as somebody who is not yet a Christian, we become a Christian, rather like we were singing in that hymn. And you change because Jesus has delivered you. And you become, yes, beautiful spiritually because you become like Jesus Christ, or you become more like him. This deliverance is a wonderful thing if we apply it to our lives. But let's look at the story. Consider the loneliness of the man in our story. He lived among the tombs. He was, as it were, a dead person. In one sense, he was dead to society. He was angry. No one, verse 3, could restrain him. He broke shackles and wrenched apart chains that held him. No one was strong enough to subdue him. The man was mentally ill, howling and bruising himself. The unclean spirit in him, legion, nevertheless knew Jesus straight away. For the man, verse 6, ran and bowed down before Jesus and shouted, verse 7, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And there it's interesting to think how amazing it is that Jesus was recognized straight away. And yet many of the leaders of the church, the Pharisees and the clergy of his day, did not recognize him. That's food for thought. Now, a legion in the Roman army consisted of up to 6,000 men. So we can appreciate the severity of this man's mental state. He needed healing from the many evil spirits imprisoning him in his unhappy existence. The man thought Jesus was tormenting him when Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." But in fact, the man was delivered out of his unhappy state. He was delivered into a new whole way of life. Now, this extreme example of Jesus' power, and it is extreme, does teach us here this morning. Before becoming Christians, and even as Christians, our lives can be subject to traits in our character which are not wholesome. For example, like contentiousness, always wanting to put one's own opinion first. Overdrinking, although we would not want to put it that way. Impurity, drawing down on our computer inappropriate images. Jealousy, being envious of someone else's position in society. Fits of anger causing trouble in our marriage or in our relationship. Breaking our marriage vows, if only in thought. These are some of the non-Christian traits which St. Paul lists in Galatians 5. If this is us, even in a small way, then Jesus can deliver us from what is an unhealthy way of living into a new whole Christian way of life, a life of holiness for people who are different, completely different, people who are daily growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and a people who want to tell other people about Jesus the Deliverer, proclaim Jesus, as we saw the demoniac did when he was healed. But let's step back for a moment and notice that the man before his deliverance protested at Jesus' input into his life. Remember, as we witness to Jesus, whether in a discovering Christianity course situation, a more formal situation, or in our daily lives, that the person who protests most can be the man or woman who is on the verge of conversion. It's an encouragement to us when somebody you talk to about Jesus Christ and he says, "Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, this is ridiculous." The Holy Spirit may actually be beginning in that person to change him or her. And you never know what happens. And I've seen people in this church, I can think of one man as I'm preaching, who turned completely round and became a Christian. And isn't that wonderful? Now the swine, which is always a very difficult part of this story. What about the swine who were driven into the sea? Well, we won't come to a conclusion about the swine rushing down the steep bank and being drowned, except to say that uncleanness, sin, that sin in the demoniac, not in the swine, obviously, leads to spiritual death and even physical death sometimes. The man, the demoniac, was saved from a life situation which would probably have led to his death, both physically and spiritually. Jesus, by sending the unclean spirits into the swine, gave us a picture in that what happened to the swine, that's the picture, gave us a picture of what would have happened to the man if he had not been delivered from legion who possessed him. Now this miracle clearly had an effect on the acquaintances of this previously violent man. Verse 14. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people came to see what it was that had happened. You know, whenever anything big happens, people always want to see. If there's been an accident on the motorway, people try and slow their cars down to see what's happened. And so in this situation, the people came out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. What a miracle. They came to observe the deliverance. As they gathered around Jesus, seeing him there, what did they do? Did they start clapping and saying, "What a wonderful miracle"? Did they think, "Oh, this man is absolutely amazing. We're going to follow him"? They didn't, did they? They took fright. It is interesting to note that unbelievers can become uncomfortable in the presence of God made manifest. For example, let's take something today. Just suppose there is a real miracle of healing. And the doctors have given a prognosis, and the doctors to whom the person goes back says, "I don't know, I can't explain it, but you are free of your illness now." What do unbelievers do in their reaction? They feel uncomfortable. They leave the scene thinking in their minds often, surely, "It's just nature taking its course." Or, the usual one, "It would have happened anyway." A supernatural event can frighten those who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And this is why here, verse 17, they begged Jesus to leave the neighborhood. And so today, as Christians, let us keep open minds about healings, remembering that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Don't worry, I'm quite happy with Robin, so she's a nice girl. Today, as Christians, let us keep open minds about healings, remembering that Jesus of the Acts, of the Gospels, and the Jesus of today is the same Lord, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can too easily be guilty of dismissing Jesus from a particular situation if we refuse to accept a deliverance by Jesus when the fact clearly shows that there has been a miracle. In the West, science has brainwashed us into thinking that there are scientific answers to every problem, that our modern advanced technology, and it is advanced, can deal with every problem, health or otherwise. This story reminds us that Jesus Christ and the deliverance he brings touches the spiritual dimension in all of us. As Christians in the West, we need to accept this and thus benefit from the wholeness Jesus can bring to our lives. Now, I don't know how many of you know, but I've been with doctors or nurses practically all my life. My father was a doctor and an anaesthetist, and I spent 25 years in his house with ill people coming in day, evening and morning because we had the surgery in the house. So I have seen what doctors and specialists and surgeons can do, and it's wonderful. We've had an example this week of Marion Bray having a really big operation, and we must give thanks for the surgeon who operated on her. My last message is she's doing really well. But doctors and nurses and surgeons can heal our bodies, absolutely, but only to a certain point. Jesus Christ heals the whole person. In our story, Jesus delivered the demoniac both physically and mentally. The result was a new man to proclaim him. Just as Mary Magdalene was a new woman ready to proclaim Jesus. For the delivered man, the demoniac here, was given a ministry. Go home to your friends. Don't stay with me. Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown to you. And we can learn from the result of this deliverance. This healed man placed not just part, but all his life and future in the hands of Jesus. How does that speak to us? How does that speak to me? Have we done this? Or are there in our house of life, certain rooms which we have said, no, we won't let Jesus Christ into those. We will keep the door shut. If you're going to understand this miracle, you will realize that the demoniac opened all his doors, every single door, and Jesus Christ delivered him completely as a new man. The complete miracle in our own lives is when we become more and more fully dependent on Jesus as we trust him for our future. Not just what we do in the church, not just what we do at home, but what we do at work. So that when we go to work and we've got a difficult day ahead and we think, how are we going to get through? We pray, Lord, help me. That's the prayer I've used for years. Lord, help me. It doesn't get in the way of a phone call. It doesn't get in the way with seeing somebody in the office. But you can just quietly in your heart say, Lord, help me. And so to conclude and recap, just 3 points. One, I've got to be honest, and we all have got to be honest with ourselves about the character traits in us which need to be delivered by Jesus. And let him, yes, let him increase in us, in you, each one of you here this morning, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the exact opposites of those nasties I read out from Galatians earlier in the sermon. For these wonderful fruit of the Spirit are for all of us Christian men and women. 2, don't dismiss this miracle as inappropriate in our modern scientific age. As we've seen, doctors, nurses, psychiatrists do wonderful work. Today, medical and surgical technology is amazing. Nevertheless, Jesus still delivers us like a newborn baby into a new whole lifestyle. And lastly, ask God for the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of greater dependence on Jesus Christ, so that our future will be not just fulfilling, but spent as a Christian witness for families, friends, and neighbors of what Jesus has done for us. Amen.